We hop on the 7 line and cruise on down to Morton Street. We turn north into the Fernandez Plaza, into the wonderfully cool City Hall, the mayor's office. The door is cracked, and there's our great friend, Mayor John Hamilton. I hope your HVAC is working efficiently this afternoon. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. Thanks. Nice to be with you again and your listeners, Mike. And as you indicated, we kind of all have to stay flexible and paying attention to schedules and events, don't we, with this kind of weather?
We can control the controllables, and Mother Nature is not in that column. So somebody always has it a little bit on the worse side than we do, but that 97 and 77 on Thursday, we just don't need it that hot and that humid. There's nothing we can do about it, but we have big events coming up on Thursday. We've got obviously the Switchyard Park Concert Series, which we'll talk about. We've got the People's Park Concert Series going on. I know our friends at the Chamber have their big business after hours as well, so there's plenty of things happening. But at Switchyard Park, the city's park, Grammy Award-winning musician Molly Tuttle will be in town. The Golden Highway will back her up. Everything starts at 5 o'clock out there. Do we at this moment? We don't have any. We're going, right? We're just going to have to stay, find a way to be cool, sit in the splash pad, have some fun.
You know, as far as I know, Mike, the schedule hasn't been changed. It is true we will certainly welcome people, and people ought to plan to be hydrated and maybe bring shade. Shade options with you. There is a lot of water around there, so that's good. And just keep posted on the timing of things in case that does change. But it's a beautiful place. There's plenty of room for wind, and I hope it'll be a nice night. It's going to be a little hot. Dress accordingly, and just keep checking the website in case there's anything. And I know you'll do that too, and you'll be talking to us Thursday afternoon in case there's any update on that.
Absolutely right, and we want it to happen so badly, but we need to be safe as well.
It's
a tough
one. Good reminder, heat is sometimes more dangerous than we think about, and as you mentioned, we're not having it as bad as some places, but it can be particularly for people who may be susceptible to heat stroke or other issues, frailty can be really, really dangerous. So do be sure to watch for your neighbors, and if they're stressed, don't hesitate to call. And we've got some places people can go. And when I hear bluegrass, I do have to tell you, I kind of think heat anyway. I mean, it's kind of like, it's the kind of music that.
That's summertime music. Heat,
but yeah. Be careful.
Coming up on Thursday night at Switchyard Park, it's the Thursday Night Music Series. Molly Tuttle in the Golden Highway. The Henhouse Prowlers will begin at 6 p.m. with the music. There will be folks at 5 o'clock with food and beverage and artist merchandise. I just want to remind everybody, and I think we've done a good job doing this. Mike McAfee's done a great job doing this as well. Parking is free. Tickets are free. The only thing that you need to worry about is if you'd like some food or drink that is going to be there on site from some of our local merchants. That would be outstanding. Bring your chair, bring your blanket if there's going to be overflow parking. You can always cruise down the B line from either direction. Don't forget about the east side of the park as well. There's parking spots over
right
there. But, this is a big, big honking deal. And we hope Mother Nature can help us out when we get closer and closer.
One other thing, and I agree, all that's good advice. I found out, I didn't know that Molly Tuttle is from Palo Alto, our sibling city.
Oh, very nice.
So we're welcome. It's a little bit of a sibling city thing here. So she's bringing Palo Alto right to Bloomington.
Well, that is very cool. And again, one of our three major park performances. This one perhaps will be, we thought this one was going to be, because of the recent Grammy Award, we thought this one was going to be perhaps the most well attended. Are we worried about the attendance or does that not even matter? We're just ready to put on a great show.
We just put on a great show. I mean, obviously weather can change attendance significantly, but mostly we just want to put on a great show. Let people know, as you said, come by for all or some of the event and enjoy the park and the music and you know, each year, I think each year Switchyard Park will kind of get busier and busier and flex its muscles and see what works and what doesn't and what people want to see the most of, and we'll keep seeing more of that probably.
John Hamilton is the mayor of the city of Bloomington. He joins us every Tuesday. We tackle the issues. Well, get out to Griffey. That's another good place to cool off. Hop in, get paddling into the shade and enjoy all those great things as well. Last week, the city council got together. We had a chance to talk about what was going to be on their agenda on Tuesday when we met. The decisions made were, and what did we learn last Wednesday night?
Well, I think the steps that were taken both by the Parks Department and the Public Works Board, and then City Council steps into that too, were really dealing with continuing to deal with safety in the parks, basically, and in the public right of way. This has been it's an issue that we always have to monitor and watch and respond to. And the parks in particular were watching real concern about behaviors in some of the parks behind closed doors, if you will, in tents. We were worried about young people and illegal activities and things that we had evidence were going on that were really concerning. So the Parks Board, after a lot of deliberation, a lot of work, and a lot of collaboration, frankly, among all the players, the service providers in the parks and others, decided to outlaw closed tents, basically, in public parks.
And that's regardless of time of day, correct?
That's correct. That basically means opaque structures where you can't see what's going on are generally going to not be allowed. I think starting tomorrow, it may be the effective date, if I recall that correctly. It was passed last week. We were really concerned about safety of what was going on in some of our parks. And this will apply to all parks. It'll apply 24/7 that you just can't have closed structures unless you can get a permit if there's a particular need for use of one for a particular event. But in general, shade structures are great, are fine, but we need to be able to see in what's going on. And the similar approach on public rights of way and the ability to make sure we can just keep everybody safe and protect our community and people in our community from bad things happening, which we were worried were happening there.
Now, this is my opinion, and I want to make sure I clarify it as this. Those that perhaps are doing these events and doing such things right now, I doubt are following the local news and knowing that they are now illegal or not being able to happen. How does the enforcement of this, who's in charge of doing that? How is that going to work? Because we know it's just not going to, quote unquote, stop.
Yeah, it's good. I actually do think there's a pretty good informal information that flows from people who are providing services in parks, whether it's meals or people providing shelter. Everybody, I think, has been involved and around the table to talk about how to do this. So there will be, I think, a fair amount of information flowing. But it's also true, just like in our overnight, we've long had an overnight camping being illegal in parks. And we have both parks representatives, parks staff, parks contractors, security contractors who will let somebody know this is not meant to be punitive. It's not going to be if we see a tent up, we're going to go grab it. That's not going to happen. It's going to be, hey, just need to let you know that structure is not okay. A rain fly or a shade structure is fine, but you can't keep that up. And I think we expect to have a pretty good kind of dialogue of enforcement, if you will. Now, if somebody insistently violates a law, whether it's trying to camp overnight or use a structure that's outlawed, then eventually there could be, actual legal enforcement or taking away of a tent or that kind of thing. But
That's not the goal of this, right?
That's definitely not the goal, and I kind of don't expect that to happen too much.
Gotcha.
If at all.
Now, the greater philosophical question that goes along with this, and if you don't have the answer, and I'm not sure if anybody has the answer, but it seems like, okay, well, if we don't do it here, we're going to do it somewhere else. We've just kind of relocated. That's kind of the greater issue, isn't it?
Well, you and I have talked about this a little bit. I do think it's a complicated question. You know, there's a housing question, and then there's kind of the public health and behavior questions. And the housing question, I mean, I believe everybody has a right to housing. We're a country, we're a state, we're a community where we want to make sure everybody has a right to decent shelter. We don't have that yet for everybody. We do have emergency shelter beds that are available, and we need to continue to work on that housing front. And we do, and you and I have talked, you know, the vast number of people who experience homelessness, it's a period of time, and they get out of homelessness, and we help people. Our community is extremely generous and good at helping somebody who's gone through a family breakup or a health issue or some other kind of precipitating event, loss of job, that we help them get back into housing. There are chronically homeless people experiencing chronic homelessness. It's more challenging, but I think we have to also talk about public health and mental health and substance use disorder that's driving a lot of this. A lot of the folks that we may see in the parks all day or in encampments living in a tent, which is not safe for any of us, for them or for the community, are dealing with other issues than just housing. We can help people get into emergency housing and help work toward permanent housing, but they're often very serious mental health issues, substance use disorder issues, and that's one of the reasons I keep pushing us to say as a community, and this particularly our county health department, to say we need to be putting serious dollars into community mental health and community substance use disorder. I talk about it in the connection with the jail, where we're getting ready to spend tens and tens of millions of dollars on the jail and its services, and we need to improve. We have a jail that needs a lot of help. However, I think we ought to be putting as many dollars into the kind of services that will help prevent people from crossing the law, and I'm going to keep beating that drum, and I think that's a lot of what we see in our community as well.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He checks in with us every Tuesday, and usually Tuesdays aren't this hot, but here we are. We're not in 90. We didn't hit 90 today, so I guess that's the good news. We all need to stay hydrated. We know the Bryant Park pool is open this weekend and then the Labor Day weekend, and then that will be that. That's just how it works this time of year. But you have other things. We have other things going on. I know everybody has one eye on the holiday weekend, Labor Day coming up. That means the 4th Street Arts Festival that goes on.
That's always a favorite.
We'll also have home football that weekend. Oh, no, hey, since I've talked to you last, look, there's about 45,000 new residents here in Bloomington. How did the first weekend of having everyone all back together go? Was it pretty quiet, pretty mellow?
Well, my Public Works Director Adam Wason was feeling pretty draggled. I think there's a lot that goes on trying to help deal with move-ins and large item, being put out at the curb and sanitation training that needs to go on with every
household. Oh, my goodness. You know what I noticed? And I don't know if this is me or I didn't pay as much attention last year, or maybe it was the pandemic or whatever else. I see a ton of, new boxes of stuff, not like boxes where you just brought your, like, for TVs and for appliances and things like that. That seems newer this time around because all the cardboard and styrofoam is lined up right next to the recycling bins on some of the main streets. So I guess we're not bringing TVs anymore. We're just having them shipped. I don't know how that works. I'm out of the loop here, buddy.
Well, I will have to say I was surprised when I moved one of my family members in, and we said, just buy the bed in a box, bring it in a box, and then you got a big box to get rid of, and that was different. But, it's interesting. Do you ever try at a store, and they've got a bunch of packaging, and you say, you know what, you just keep the packaging. I'll just take the product. And they they got to deal with it. But it, yeah, there's a lot.
But if you're getting it via Amazon or something else, well, like everybody does, it's just going to show up in that. You, I bet the. I'm going to ask Wason this when I see him in the wild next time. I want to ask him what his cardboard measurement is right now. You've got more cardboard than you know what to do with.
Yeah, well, you know, that's part of the transition every fall. But on the other hand, you know, we're very excited to have the. Energy and the new faces and new ideas coming to town, and of course a lot of them are coming back, and that's great, and we love to have them come back to town. But then there's always 9,000 or 10,000 new people coming in, and they get to know Bloomington. I think I mentioned to you, I often go to a Paul Helmke's class of civic leaders, civic, and that's a whole bunch of 80 or something freshmen, and hearing them talk about the community and their interests and what they're studying, where they're from all over the country, is always really fun. And you know, they bring new energy, and it's a great treat for the city to get that injection of new ideas and new spirit.
And if it's August, that means everybody's back to school, and the city of Bloomington is supporting kids as well through the Swagger program, and you're having a summit. For the City of Bloomington's Commission on the Status of Black Males is having a youth summit coming up as well. So you guys are very interested and invested in the next generation.
We do. I love those events. They're both Swagger Awards are great, and the high school and middle school youth events have become more and more popular. Beverly Calendar Anderson and her department, Community and Family Resources, do a great job. We've actually been doing youth participatory budgeting too, where groups of youth get to decide what to do with a little slice of the city budget. That's been fun. It's also interesting seeing the connection between local middle and high schoolers and the college students who often come from all over the place, you know. So we love to encourage those interactions.
How are we doing with broadband internet? That has kind of been quiet here in the summertime. Any update on how that's progressing?
Yeah, I just checked the other day. There's been about 100 miles of conduit laid. So there's a lot of building out that's still going, and they've started to turn customers on neighborhood by neighborhood. That's just beginning with Gigabit Now. And they're being a little... They want to wait till they get a certain number of neighborhoods ready to flip the switch before they really start advertising much. That's why I think it's been a little quiet, but they've basically, I think, close to completed their underground cabling, and now they're going to be doing some above ground on some of the Duke poles to finish out the city. But it's really exciting, and I think as we move forward each month, we'll be seeing more and more people have the opportunity to get that 2 gigabit speed, fiber to the home, again, with a really good digital equity program for families that are struggling. I'm really proud of that. And over the next year and a half plus, we'll be continuing to expand that opportunity.
And your digital equity grants are funding nonprofits as well in the area. Tell me who are they supporting?
Yeah, that's a new program that really came with this new, it was part of our digital equity strategic plan. And look, I know that's a lot of fancy words, but the notion really is that access to the digital world, a good internet connection, is so important to be able to get jobs and get education and entertainment and healthcare, etc. So we want to be sure we have a real focus on making that available to people in an equitable way. And we have started and are continuing this equitable digital equity grant program that goes out to places like Boys and Girls Club or the library or senior citizens services that are just, they come to us and say, here's how we can help more people get fair access to the internet. And it's really fun. I think there's more than a dozen that have gotten grants. These aren't big dollars. They're $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, maybe something like that. Part of this is funded by the digital equity companies that's putting in the fiber, and part of it's from some of the rescue plan efforts of the federal administration, but it's just helping make sure we don't leave people behind. Like with electricity or water, I really do think access to the digital world is a really important public good, so we're trying to make sure everybody gets good access to it.
And tomorrow night we will have council meeting. Is that on the agenda?
No, it's off tomorrow.
Okay.
Off tomorrow.
It's too hot for that.
We got our big budget week next week. Four nights starting Monday.
So that will be the 28th, the 29th, 30th, and 31st into the Labor Day weekend. Ooh, they'll be busy.
Tune in to Cats. You want to watch a few hours. And I know it can be pretty dry, but it is actually, as you know, the most important public policy document we have is the budget. We'll be spending over $200 million of money that we'll be asking the City Council to approve for next year. There's a lot of important things coming up, and I'll start Monday night, and then we got 16 department heads who follow each over the next three nights as we talk about what we're going to do next year.
And that is a specific batting order that will go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, correct? There is a lineup, and we will follow.
There is a lineup. You can check it online. I start, and Adam Wason finishes. I know that. And in between, we've got 15 other department heads, and you can check out if you have a favorite. If you say, I want to hear the fire department, I want to hear the planning department, you can find out when they'll be.
Roy, you just tune in next Tuesday afternoon at 4:05 when Mayor Hamilton joins us, and we will give you the update on the final Tuesday of August, right smack dab in the middle of the budget presentations. We'll get ready for Labor Day weekend as well, and our first home game. That'll be a little we'll throw a little more population into the town and see how things go.
That will be a happening place. That will indeed. That'll be fun. I hope we do. I hope we have a good Saturday.
I think we'll have a great weekend regardless, because we have the 4th Street Festival. We got a little soccer in town. We got all kinds of things going on. Hey, buddy, stay cool. I hope we have a bunch of fun on Thursday night. We will, again, check in with the city at 4:15 Thursday just to make sure that everything is on the up and up, and we will get caught up with you next week. Stay cool, my friend.
Mike, same to you and all your listeners. Hope you have a good week. Take care.
Mayor John Hamilton joins us every Tuesday just after 4:05 here at WGCL and WGCLradio.com.